Well, hello again.
So now we're going to keep the theme going, contemplating the God of the brokenhearted in the sphere of the husband. It's funny, I was talking with my wife as I was putting this together way back when, and I was like, should I put, I was kind of talking about the order of things and trying not to slight, you know, do any slighting or anything. I said, no, I'm just going to start with, she suggested, just start with the way it starts off, just in the order of things. So we'll be doing husband, wife, and then child for the series. If you weren't here earlier, you got to know that the Bible says that the heart can break. Bible also says that it is He, the Lord, that can restore your heart, restore your soul, restore the spirit. We want to look into these different spheres of relationships because there are certain things that are specific to roles and relationships that indeed break the heart. We mentioned how the examples used in the scriptures talked about words breaking souls and hearts. So again, the possibility for trauma and events like this can break the heart, and there is indeed a need for healing if you are in the Lord. He offers that healing. So let's think about God, the brokenhearted, and the husband. Some must-know information is roles and responsibilities. Which roles and responsibilities are dependent on people as a husband? And can those people help or hinder what he needs to do? The brokenhearted husband. Do these situations exist? Again, there's some must-know information. There's some summary passages. We kind of have to talk about roles real quick so that we can think about where the possible heartbreak might lie. Because we want to think of it in God's way. So it says, for husbands and wives, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything. For this pleases the Lord. In 1 Peter 3, it says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. So you have to ask yourself, as you contemplate these things and these roles, do the people in a husband's life have the potential to bring heartbreak, strife, and trouble to him? And the answer, of course, is yes. You have a husband possible without honor or submission. We have these passages in Proverbs 17:25 says, a foolish son brings grief to his father and bitterness to the mother who bore him. So children don't have to necessarily obey their parents, do they? Do they have the free will to disobey their parents? Proverbs 21:9 mentions, focuses on the wife, says, better to live in a corner of the roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife. It could be hard to live at home for some people. Better to live in a desert than with a quarrelsome and nagging wife. I've worked with people who couldn't take vacations because they didn't like being home. It's possible to not have the things that God says He ordered and structured for us. It's possible that there's brokenheartedness in these areas for the husband. Is there not? He can be without honor and submission. Some additional must-know information is God has always identified as the husband of His people. Okay? So I hope you follow me on this transition. But the whole point of thinking about ourselves as a heartbreaking husband, we can't move forward without bringing up the fact that God, He sets Himself up as an image, as a picture of this heartbroken husband. The Lord has always identified as the husband of his people. In Isaiah 54, it says, "For your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and the Holy One of Israel is your redeemer. The God of the whole earth he is called. For the Lord has called you like a wife, deserted and grieved in spirit, like a wife of youth when she is cast off, says your God. Behold, the days are coming," in Jeremiah 31, "declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord." The Lord puts himself up as a husband who is continually getting cheated on. That is a husband whose wife is continually in adultery. That's how God sets up these images for us. As a matter of fact, in the book of Hosea, there were times where prophets represented a whole feeling of God to the people. And this was one of those cases. Here you have the call of Hosea, and God tells him, when the Lord first spoke through Isaiah, the Lord said to Hosea, "Go, take to yourself a wife of harlotry and have children of harlotry, for the land commits flagrant harlotry, forsaking the Lord." In chapter 2, verses 7 through 8, it says, "Their mother has played the harlot. She who conceived them has acted shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers who give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, my oil and my drink. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up her way with thorns, and I will build up a wall against her so that she cannot find her paths. She shall pursue her lovers, but not overtake them, and she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then she shall say, I will go and return to my first husband, for it was better for me than now. And she did not know that it was I who gave her the grain, the wine, and the oil, and who lavished on her silver and gold, which they used for Baal." Verses 12 through 13, same chapter. "And I will lay waste her vines and her fig trees, on which she said, these are my wages, which my lovers have given me. I will make them a forest, and the beast of the field shall devour them. And I will punish her for the feast days of the Baals, which she burned offerings to them and adorned herself with her ring and jewelry and went after her lovers and forgot me, declares the Lord." You notice how he puts himself in this role, okay? How he frames himself as someone who's been trying, who's been providing, and every provision gets twisted and used for something else, just ungratefully. That's how our God says it's like when we aren't faithful to him. But as husbands, again, we have the possibility where our wives and children are not submissive, faithful, obedient, honoring us. But continuing on, this is the very next verse in Hosea. How does the Lord reconcile this? How does he deal with this wife? You have the Lord's loyal love, steadfast love for his bride. It says, going forward, it says, "Therefore, behold," because of this, because of all this, this is what's going to happen. "I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. And there I will give her vineyards and make the valley of Acre." Acre is associated with trouble, so she's in trouble. So she's going to make the valley of trouble a door of hope for this bride that's been so unfaithful to him. "And there shall be answer in the days of her youth and at the time when she came out of the land of Egypt. And in that day, declares the Lord, you will call me my husband, and no longer you will call me my Baal. For I will remove the names of the Baals from her mouth, and they shall be remembered by name no more." How does the Lord handle this? With steadfast love, with tenderness, with covenants. God is always the initiator. I do believe that husbands also are called to be the initiator for a lot of things, especially for peace and reconciliation in the home. All right. Now, here you have the church as the bride of Christ. Okay, we're trying to make some connections here. Because we can't really understand our role as husbands until we really understand what God says about him as husband and what the scripture says about Christ as husband. You understand how that's the wisdom of God and how we have to learn things according to his word? So here what it says, talking about Hosea, speaking of the bride that's coming. And I will make for them a covenant on that day with the beast of the field, the birds of the heavens, and the creeping things of the ground. And I will abolish the bow, the sword, and war from the land. And I will make you lie down in safety, and I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, in steadfast love and in mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. We are called the bride of Christ. I love this passage because it gives us, I think, you know, we have this wedding feast spoken about in Revelation, but we're betrothed to Christ. It says we're betrothed to Christ according to this passage. If you were unfaithful and you were betrothed, that was as good as being married and unfaithful, okay? We are a covenant with the Lord in Jesus Christ. And that is how our God handled rejection, is he kept going after and calling it tender. And she responded, the church responded when the time came. Know this, if you're a believer, you're betrothed to Christ. It's kind of like when we're talking about foundational things, every lesson kind of needs a foundational, you need something to stand on. You need a focal point. And right here, you really need to understand that God, as the husband of his people, is a theme that helps us to be better husbands, to not be brokenhearted, because we have displays of how brokenhearted our God was, and how are we supposed to process it? How do we process brokenheartedness? How do we get to the other side? God's way. Let's talk about washing with the word in Ezekiel and Ephesians. There's this kind of interesting couple of things I hope to take you on with me. In Ezekiel, you have another passage where God refers to himself as husband. And this is how he puts it. It says, when I passed by you again and saw you, behold, you were at the age for love. And I spread the corner of my garment over you and covered your nakedness. I made my vow to you and entered into a covenant with you, declares the Lord God, and you became mine. Then I bathed you with water and washed off your blood from you and anointed you with oil. We've got an interesting passage in Ephesians 5 where it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should also love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Believers, if you are a husband, it is your responsibility to make sure that your wife knows or believes at least what you, like, you never know the situation. I'm not talking about, like, you're unbelievers. You gotta believe. But if you have two people who are in agreement and the husband is a believer, the husband and wife should kind of be one on most things, right? So let me break it down for you. I was talking like this with Laura. I said, it's interesting, this washing with the word, because I think the point of it is not that you're going to believe everything that I believe, because that takes away your thinking, your free will. That's not the whole point of anything at all. But my wife has to, if she disagrees, she has to at least know what I believe. Because if we're both Christians, 1 Corinthians 13, we both love truth and hate falsehood. So we just have a disagreement. So if someone comes to her and says, oh, what does your husband think about this? She might say, well, he thinks about this. But if in her wisdom she thinks differently, she says, but I will say that I might say this. I'm okay with that. But I did my time to say, hey, did we study the scriptures together and we try to make sense of it together. Because what the Lord did is he took this people out of Egypt. He took Abraham and the land, people were all worshiping gods, and he washed them with the word. He says, this is the way. These are my statutes. And as husbands, if we are married to the Lord, betrothed, it is our duty to make sure that our family is being trained up in the Lord. And that includes your wife. It means you can't control her. It doesn't mean she's going to believe everything you believe. But it does mean it's your job to talk about passages and get down to some things. Is that fair? We can talk about this more in a bit. But this idea of washing your wife with the word, how can we look at a passage and we have two complete understandings about it and we've never talked about it? May that never be in a Christian household. Study the word together. Wash your wife with the word. You might have to make some adjustments as you grow in understanding. But the point is you're making it a point as husband to make spirituality and truth, being washed with the word of God, a part of your life, a part of your household. It's important. All right. Tyranny is not a solution to dishonor or lack of submission. Okay? God's word must be in you and demonstrated to her. Okay, husbands as head must lead in love. Beware of tactics and temperaments. I've seen it, man. I've been in the rooms with other couples, and you can hear when they're saying things but not saying them. It's like, I'm here. You don't just speak plainly if you're gonna talk in code. You know, like, tactics, plain speak is from the Lord. Not complexities, not deception, not acute accusations. We have to beware of tactics. Proverbs 26:27 says, whoever digs a pit will fall into it. If someone rolls a stone, it will roll back on them. Okay? We have to be aware, if you are a brokenhearted husband, where's the first place to check? For you are the head of the house. You've got to check within. Okay? Check for any planks, any logs, any specks before you move forward in anything. We have to lead in love. And ask ourselves, am I creating all this dishonor that's around me? Did I attribute? Did I dig this pit? You may have just become aware of it, but did I dig it? Is an honest question that needs reflection. Are you honoring her, praying, and are you being understanding? It was a sentence written poorly, but the point is here, 1 Peter 3, when we're asking about leading in love, it's not only asked, our prayers can be hindered. Did you notice that when we read it before? Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. We don't talk about prayers being hindered very much, but it says it plainly there, that if husbands don't try to prioritize being understanding to their wives, their wife doesn't like being around them. They feel nervous and shaky and scared. Are you being what God was? The way he described himself. The tender nourishing, cherishing. Again, being that he is. As husbands, let's beware of tactics. Fathers, again, because we're talking about honor and dishonor. You know, you might not have it. Lord willing, you do. But as the head of the house, we're called to still do what we need to do. Really, everyone's called to do what they need to do. But father, show compassion, right? What do you do when your children don't listen to you? I mean, is there one answer for that? It depends, no? But I do know this. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame, and he remembers that we are dust. No passage has made me be more aware of my irritability than this passage, because I feel sometimes it's hard to be compassionate when you know you've said it about a dozen times. But then what pops in my mind is how often God has been patient with me. It's transformative. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. We could have spent a whole nother time looking at Proverbs about being a good husband, but it's focusing on the brokenhearted husband. At the very least, you have to know that the Lord identifies as the brokenhearted husband as well. And that despite that, what did he do? But righteousness and justice. And as husbands, we're called that no matter what's going on, we're supposed to lead in righteousness and justice. Not provoking our children to anger, dealing with our wives in an understanding way, lest our prayers be hindered. It's a powerful calling. There's powerful implications. But it's important for us to realize that husbands' hearts do break. And I say that because I think guys are less likely or common to say, my feelings hurt. But we are made in the image of God, and God's heart breaks. Okay? So I know your heart breaks, unless you've created a fortress. But know that the Lord restores our soul in every sphere. If you're not going to be here tomorrow, and you're a wife or a child, I feel like I want to keep talking to you because I'm like, I want you to know that God cares about you specifically too. God knows every situation. So if you're not going to be here tomorrow, investigate God's word. Know that he is the best father. He is the best king. He is the best husband. And that our Lord Jesus Christ doesn't get compared to the wife very much. But what was he on earth? But submissive to the Father in all things. In Ephesians, we're told that he's the example of Christ in the church, in the faithfulness. The Lord didn't ask anything of us that he didn't do himself. And know that the Lord restores our soul. All right. That's all I have. Thank you.